Hi, everybody. This is Lisa.
And this is Joe.
And welcome to your Cheap Date Show for March 1st, 2008. On this week's show...
it's a nonstop parade of deliciously seasoned grilled meats. Yeah, how do you like them apples?
I wish it really were.
It's a nonstop parade of deliciously... I can't even say that. Deliciously seasoned meats.
And at the end of the show, we'll reveal the secret spice... Okay.
Anyway, welcome to the Cheap Date Show, ladies and gentlemen.
I didn't know. And I identified cloves in a pork dish today.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of pork dish?
Long story.
Can you give us the short version?
Monica gave me a bite of something and said, "This tastes like something. What is it?" And I tasted it and I said, "Oh, it's cloves."
Mm-hmm.
And then we asked the person who had made it, "What's in this?" Cloves.
They often use cloves in pork dishes, do they not? I know in ham they do.
Yes, but in this case, it was a little bit like the time I made that cranberry orange zest pork roast.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a little bit more like gingerbready than it really needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as was this, I thought. A little heavy on the cloves.
So what was this dish? Was there a name for this dish?
It was some sort of pork roast done in the crock pot.
Crock pot pork roast.
Yeah, it was supposed to be Asian. It had like rice wine and soy sauce in it and stuff, but it didn't come out Asian. It came out gingerbread.
You're making that confused face.
Well, when you get a recipe that says Asian anything,
yeah,
you never know what you're gonna get.
That's
I mean,
true.
Asia is a whole continent.
It's half the world, isn't that?
Yeah.
The surface of the
earth. So what the heck is that supposed to mean? And then there. Everything that goes into it are things you have in your cabinet, you know, cupboard, that's what they call it.
I'm speechless.
My personal favorite is your mom's, like, chow mein dish or whatever it is that calls for spaghetti noodles.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty
that's
good.
That's my favorite example. The kids love it, and we all love it, but that's my favorite example of a thoroughly Americanized Asian, can you hear the air quotes?
Now, my favorite thing that your mom makes is what she calls her coleslaw, which doesn't actually have any cabbage in it, does it? It has ramen noodles. Ramen noodles in it.
Yeah, crushed up ramen noodles and like a sugar white vinegar dressing. What is it?
Lettuce?
I think she gets the taco shreds of lettuce.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. It might be cabbage, but I don't think so because it gets soft sooner than cabbage would.
Yeah. I'm not a coleslaw fan by any measure.
And no,
when your mom made that the first time, you're like, "Oh, try it anyway. You'll like this coleslaw."
Well,
coleslaw.
I didn't know if you would like it, but I knew that if you didn't like coleslaw, that meant nothing about your potential opinion about this particular dish.
True. It was as much like coleslaw as marshmallow peeps are like coleslaw. The thing they have in common, you put them in your mouth. That's about it.
Yeah.
So, well, that's good. Anything else you need to report? I was in California a couple of weeks ago.
Oh,
I was
in
the greater Palo Alto area, which was kind of fun.
You weren't here?
I was not here, believe it or not.
Huh.
In fact.
Where was I?
You were here. All by your lonesome. And Lisa placed an order
with her. I missed you terribly.
Aw, Lisa placed an order with one of her favorite pizza places. Well, it's a nostalgic favorite, right?
It is. It still has its place in my life.
Yeah. Papa John's.
Yeah. Out in Seattle where there were no Chicago pizza places on every corner, Papa John's was the best pizza available where I lived.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Papa John's has a special place in my heart, especially those little packets of garlic butter.
Oh. You should see her eyes. They just lit up. These big green lights just lit up right in front of my eyes here. So while you were eating Papa John's here, I was eating out in Palo Alto.
Yeah, what were you eating out there?
We went to a Nouveau Greek place.
First of all, it was like 60 degrees.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Which is hilarious because it hasn't been like 20 feels balmy here now.
It was really nice. It was the weather was, it was in the 60s and hotels, the meetings were actually reasonable too. We met with a vendor out there and one of the large computer manufacturers out there, and they did an executive briefing. But hey, let me tell you about the places that I went to. I went to this one place called Evia. It's actually called Evia Estiatorio, which is right in downtown Palo Alto. Is a cool town. It's a university town. So it's, you know, it's got a kind of a vibe of sort of like Evanston, only cooler. And with all due respect to Evanston.
Really cooler than Evanston?
it reminded me a lot of, you know, Seattle or just a...
Yeah.
Just a young people's town. A lot of young people there.
Which is always going to be cooler.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, this place was really cool. We had... There was a large party. There were about 10 of us who went there. And I had the... Hold on. I'll tell you what I had. Oh, I had the... it was the souvlaki, but it was steak souvlaki.
Which Flaming was really, steak?
No.
Oh, no. I'm thinking...
Saganaki.
Saganaki.
They had their own version of Saganaki there, too, which...
Oh, boy.
One of the guys who went with us, a guy by the name of Dean, who works for the vendor that I... You okay over there?
Mm-hmm. Sorry. Can you hear all this?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Lisa's adjusting her microphone. Gotta be careful not to touch that, because it could be, you know, dangerous.
Could be...
One of the guys in our crowd is of Greek descent. His parents came over from Greece, and so he's a big fan of the Greek islands here in Chicago.
Oh,
so we went to this place, which is more like Greek fusion, West Coast fusion. He was just sort of like fusion. he was shaking his head at everything. So I had this. It was a beef kebab. And it was very good. The vegetables were very fresh, and we had some green beans and some other stuff, some asparagus, some other springy type vegetables. Mm-hmm. They were all delicious. My dessert, however, was absolutely delicious. And I'm going to try and pronounce this. The waitress, our server, who was the daughter of the owner, she really knew how to work the crowd. She sees all because a lot of these tech companies have
a bunch
these business
of dudes in Dockers and polo shirts.
Exactly.
Tough crowd to work when you're the daughter of the owner of a Greek restaurant. Come on.
I had a dessert called Galaktoboreko. Galaktoboreko.
Oh, sounds good.
Check this out.
Gelato, like gelato?
Listen. Traditional phyllo, which is the dough.
Uh-huh.
Wrapped with vanilla bean semolina custard and pistachio ice cream. Let me read that again for those of you at home. Traditional phyllo wrapped vanilla bean semolina custard with pistachio ice cream. It was very sweet. It was very sticky.
So it was like that flaky.
It wasn't like baklava. It was like the pastry in baklava, only it had vanilla
custard.
Bean semolina custard, so it was a very thick custard.
Uh-huh. With semolina
pistachio
being
ice cream.
Like a type of
grain.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Sort of like a rice pudding.
Yeah actually it was kind of close, but oh, it was absolutely delicious. I could have had just like four of those and I'd be done with that. So that was one night, and then the next night we went to a place called La Bodeguita del Medio, which is also in Palo Alto. This is a Cuban restaurant. And oh my God. Again, same crowd, about 10 people. It's actually named after a restaurant that's actually in Havana. And it's just a little tiny place. Just right off the street. You would, if you walk by it, you'd actually miss it. I had the arroz con pollo there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and it was huge. The thing was huge, as I told you.
Mm-hmm.
And it was absolutely delicious. And then the two people sitting on either side of me, Jim and Michelle.
This is really funny.
They split it was a seafood salad, which was served kind of like a bouillabaisse. They had shellfish and all kinds of stuff in a big bowl. And they were on either side of me. And they were reaching for it. And every time Jim would grab some, what did I say? What were they? They were scallops or they were...
Clams
or something.
Mollusks, because they were in a shell.
Some sort of shellfish. Every time he grabbed something, maybe? It would be... Yeah, mussels. That was what it was. It was they'd come up empty. And Michelle would be on the other side going, oh, this one has them. He's like, hey, what's going on here?
Yeah, but like you could make a movie out of that. You sitting between two people who are sharing a dish.
And they're reaching over me. One of them is getting her muscles with the actual muscle meat
and
inside.
And one keeps getting empty shell.
He's like, what the heck? But it was good. And that was a real fun place too. And then in the back of the restaurant, because everything in Palo Alto or California in general is non-smoking, and all the restaurants are non-smoking, they had a cigar bar in the back. They had a little patio and a cigar bar and a walk-in humidor. So if you were looking for something, you know, and Jim, some of the guys that I was with, Jim and some of the other guys I was with, were huge. they're huge cigar fans. So they actually bought one. They brought it back to the hotel and we sat out on the patio. I did not partake of a cigar.
A lot of guys love that. I think because, well, I don't know. I think for the same reason guys like poker and scotch.
It's guy stuff.
Yeah, it's guy stuff.
Feeling like a guy. That's right. So.
And you just don't, you're not into cigars at all.
No. Still in all, it was a very nice place. So it was a good trip. And I, it was actually good. And it was good for us because we got, well, you weren't. You got the.
I should make you a martini. A real, like, gin martini.
That's right. We got the Bombay up here. I got the Bombay Sapphire.
Make you into a man. Oh.
It's Lisa's mission for 2008. I'm going to make Joe a man.
You got to quit with the apple teenies, honey.
Well, you start off with some flour, then you get some.
No more blue Cosmos, all right?
I have never had a blue Cosmo or an apple teeny in my life, pal.
You would like them.
As a matter of fact, I'm sitting right here drinking a Labatt's Blue. That's mm-hmm. the kind of guy I am.
And what's your wife drinking?
She's drinking
nothing.
It's gone. It had Kettle One in it. I know that. Was that grapefruit juice? What was that? What kind of juice?
Orange juice.
Oh, it was orange juice?
Where did we get grapefruit juice?
Thought maybe you stopped at the grocery store.
Have you ever grapefruit juice into this house?
Probably.
No.
There was that one time. Hold on. Let me get the calendar. I'm going to pause the show. I'm going to get the calendar. All right.
Anyhow.
That's nonsense.
You don't like cigars.
Had some great food while I was out in California. Came back. Was at work the next day. It was like I'd never been gone.
Okay.
So that was California. We'll move on.
How long is this show going to be? We're like halfway done.
Yeah, I know.
We haven't even talked about food. Well, I mean, we talked about
Well, this past weekend, we had an eating extravaganza.
Should we talk about your birthday? Your birthday breakfast?
We had, oh, yes. Well, I do want to talk about that.
Okay. Start at the beginning.
Very quickly. It was my birthday last Saturday. It was my daughter Rebecca's birthday this past Wednesday. So, two birthdays, a lot of food, a lot of cake. Oh, my God. So, let me tell you this. My birthday weekend actually started off on Friday afternoon.
Friday at lunch.
Friday at lunchtime. We decided, we've been talking for a very long time. Lisa has never been to a Brazilian steakhouse. And we don't have to spend a lot of time on this because I think a lot of people have been to Brazilian steakhouses. Mm-hmm. There's one in Schaumburg in the Woodfield Mall. It's called Texas de Brazil. I'm not sure what language that's supposed to be because if it was supposed to be Portuguese, Brazil would be spelled with an S, but it was spelled with a Z. And Texas is pronounced Texas. So I'm not sure what they're going for there.
The day is really... Right, because you want to say Tejas de Brasil.
Yes. But that's not what it is.
Not how it's spelled or spoken.
But anyway, Texas de Brazil is an authentic Brazilian churrascaria, which is just like Fogo de Chão, Z451. Take your pick. There's another one in Chicago called Brazaz, which has a picture of Ozzie Guillen on all their billboards, holding a big skewer of meat.
If you're not familiar with it, or if you are confused, actually, Texas de Brazil has a good... Their website explains the concept, so you can... fill in the details there.
So the idea is that you sit down.
Now we're going to tell you exactly how it works.
It's a fixed price thing. We went at lunchtime, so it was $20 each for each of us. You go in, you sit down, your server comes up, you get a drink. They have caipirinhas, which are some of my favorite Brazilian drinks. That's made with a Brazilian sugarcane liqueur called cachaça. They have guaraná, we saw, which you could get if you wanted something non-alcoholic and something to get you buzzing, even if it's there's no alcohol. We didn't have any beverage. We just stuck to the water for some reason.
Yeah, because it was $20 for lunch.
Well, still. And we did have a coupon. So there you go. Anyway, huge, huge salad bar, fresh mozzarella, 5 different kinds of olives, cheese, a huge wheel of Parmesan cheese, which
there
is
was
just
also
whacked.
There were vegetables too.
That's true.
But yeah, there were some. Yeah, cheese and sausage and, like you said, olives. Some traditional Brazilian sides, the traditional Brazilian beans and rice.
Yes, feijoada.
Mm-hmm.
Delicious.
And salad.
Mm-hmm.
And some cold roasted vegetables.
Right.
So you
fill up on that.
Right.
Then you sit down. And then there's a little card, a little medallion. It looks like a coaster.
First of all, they bring to your table. So you get sides and vegetables there. Now, we didn't get any beans and rice, and I meant to, but they also bring to your table garlic mashed potatoes and bananas fried in cinnamon.
Oh, yes. And cheese puffs.
And cheese puffs, which are all great to munch on between courses because the rest of your meal, it's all unlimited, but the centerpiece is
the gauchos meat. Coming around with meat on big swords.
They're not actually swords.
No, they are. They're actually swords. Did you take?
I looked at them.
Skewers?
There's big skewers.
Okay.
You know what? If you go sized.
To Fogo de Chao and Z451, Sala Carbao it used to be called, those actually use swords. I mean, they are like big swords.
I mean, it's
knives.
Not a problem that they weren't swords.
So here's what they do. Quick rundown of the meat. Filet mignon wrapped in bacon. Top sirloin, bottom sirloin, pork loin, lamb chops, sausages, chicken wings, or chicken legs. No, chicken wings, I think.
Parmesan chicken wings.
So the idea here is that they take all of these meats, they have them grilled over a charcoal fire, and they use, other than the Parmesan chicken wings that Lisa just mentioned, there's one seasoning that they use as they're roasting the stuff over the charcoal. And that seasoning is?
Salt.
That's it.
Well, see, I didn't realize until afterwards that it was only one. But this stuff, because the stuff tastes so well seasoned, you think, wow, what is this? And then our waiter had mentioned it, but he was all over the place.
Yeah.
But then you said, yeah, they only use salt. And they must use it in huge quantity because the stuff is so salty. But it's not salty like salt cured ham or
right.
something is. Or even like a salt crust, because there's not salt crystals on it. But I was really impressed that salt was the only seasoning they used, because the meat is so well seasoned, you wouldn't even think to ask for steak sauce.
Right, you don't need
or
it.
Or anything like that.
You don't need it. So the idea is that you have a little medallion. Different restaurants do it different ways. At Texas to Brazil, there's a little... looks like a coaster practically. Mm-hmm. On one side, it's red. Mm-hmm. And on the other side, it's green. And on the red side, it says now. And on the other side, it says sin obrigado. No, now obrigado and si.
Yeah.
And si means bring it on. So what happens is these guys are all, they're gauchos, they're called. They walk around the restaurant with these big skewers of meat. And then they come by and they say, oh, would you like... some top sirloin. And then they take another knife and they slice off a piece. You know, these little tongs, and you take the tongs and then you put it on your plate. And then these guys just keep walking around and they'll come up to your table and you can say no if there's something that you don't want.
If you're holding out for the bacon wrapped filet, you can pass up.
And I've been to places like this where you even say, hey, if you see a guy with bacon wrapped filet, can you send him over here? I've gone to Fogo de Chao a couple of times with listener Glenn, our buddy Glenn, and Chris, and Glenn's a huge fan of the lamb chops at Fogo de Chao. Mm-hmm. So he's always asking, he's like, where's the lamb chop guy?
And he's not really shy.
He's not shy at all.
It would be a scream with a big group.
Yes, it would be. But it was just the two of us, and we had a really nice, it was a Friday afternoon lunch, and we were. But it was delicious, and we had a good time, and we were there for probably about an hour or so, would you say?
And it was really fun, because it's all you can eat, but you don't have to get up and make trips. Well, you could get up and make more trips to the salad and sidebar. There's still waiter service for your drinks and sides.
Mm-hmm.
And actually very good service.
Very attentive, yeah.
Our napkins were always folded when we came back. And, but it's totally at your own pace.
Mm-hmm.
You can keep your green medallion up until your plate is piled with meat, or you can get a few different things at a time and try those. And of course, you don't have to order or share or try to decide what to get. You get everything.
Right.
So it's a lot of fun. I think it would be awesome with a crowd, any mm-hmm. type of crowd. I also think it would be a lot of fun on a date.
Yeah, I think it would be. I was good to see who's quite kind of a pig the person is you're dating.
Because it's a little bit more of an interactive dining experience.
It is. Oh, now, yeah, did you try this? That's pretty good.
I learned from the Texas de Brazil website that the idea with the grilled meat on swords is that's gaucho means cowboy.
Right.
And that's a cowboy style of cookery, skewering meat and just holding it over a fire. Mm-hmm. And then eating it right off the sword, which luckily they don't make you do. It's really very civilized.
And the decor is real interesting. It's very Latin American.
It was really pretty lush.
It is. And it's a giant, it's a big room with very high ceilings, a lot of wood on the walls and leather and...
Yeah, and metal. Like
yeah.
Iron.
Like iron, yeah.
Note that we paid $20 a piece for lunch. It's 40 and change.
I think it's
for
like 39 dinner. Something for dinner.
So you would need to go hungry, and you would need to make a big deal out of it,
right?
And or you could go for lunch and fill up, get a dinner size meal, and then have
a light
Subway
dinner.
Subway for dinner.
There you go.
But when you think about $40 for steak and chicken and lamb and sausage and everything that comes with it. Not bad.
Mm-hmm. It worked out
well.
I
don't know about calling it a cheap date, but...
But it was, you know what? But it was fun, too.
It was fun. It was kind of a special occasion, so mm-hmm. It was good.
And the other point is that children under 6 are complimentary, and children ages 7 to 12 are half price.
Oh, that's good. That helps.
You know, so, yeah. And I would say it's family friendly. It's your family would have to be...
The kids would love it.
Yeah, your family have to be very, very friendly. In fact, Emma... when she heard that we went there, was very upset. So.
We should take the kids there sometime. It's a lot of fun. Actually, we were at Benihana recently also, and they're both great places for a crowd.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
So Texas to Brazil has locations all over, literally all over the country. They're splattered throughout the country. they're splattered. Let's put it that way. And, we didn't mention they have an awesome dessert tray. Of which we couldn't touch a single thing.
Boy.
They had like a cheesecake. They had a chocolate. They had some multi-layer chocolate torte thing.
I'm glad they didn't bring it over because I could have touched it, to be honest.
So, as I said, they're all over the place. There is the one that we went to is at the Woodfield Shopping Center in Schaumburg, Illinois. And they're also in Nevada, Colorado, Texas, Louisiana, Florida, Virginia, Tennessee. And there's going to be one in downtown Chicago and Illinois as well. So that'll be yet another Brazilian steakhouse downtown for us to have go into a meat coma for the afternoon.
Yeah, don't have this for lunch before a big meeting, that's for sure. Okay, so where are we in the show and where are we in the weekend?
Let's talk about, we're gonna have to let these people go soon, but we'll fast forward. We'll talk about the rest of the places we went later. But my birthday breakfast.
Which was actually the day after your birthday.
But that's okay. My lovely wife made me. First of all, we found, what's the brand of that flower?
White Lily.
White Lily flour, which Alton Brown or his grandmother recommended for biscuits. You can't find it. It's a winter wheat. Is that what they call it?
It's a southern wheat.
Yeah.
And apparently southern grown wheat is softer. And therefore makes a lighter, fluffier biscuit. So what I had been doing with biscuits was mixing half cake flour, which is a super fine flour, and half all-purpose flour. Now, Alton devoted a whole show to his biscuit recipe. His grandmother, who, quite frankly, has been making biscuits longer than Alton's been
alive. I believe she's passed away, too, by the way. I think I read that somewhere. Yeah, that was an old show.
Well, anyway, she was wonderful. She said, forget this crazy recipe. Just use the one on the back of the White Lily flour if you can find it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it is a regional product, a regional grown
brand. Oh, yeah.
Plant food. So we were just keeping our eyes peeled for it, and Joe finally did find it.
Yeah.
The recipe on the back is simpler. I mean, biscuits are never complicated. If your biscuit recipe seems complicated, find a different biscuit recipe because it just shouldn't be a big deal. This one calls for flour, baking powder, fat. It calls for butter. I use butter and lard and buttermilk.
Right.
And really, your recipe shouldn't require any more than that. So, the biscuits did come out wonderfully and were a bit simpler than the recipe I had previously been using. And of course, they were topped with apple butter and gravy.
Not at the same time.
Ugh, no.
But the apple butter from our previous video, and then the gravy, which we thank Nanette and listener Brian for the guides on how to make
And awesome also my mom.
And your mom.
Who
that's true.
Demonstrated live in the kitchen.
Quality control officer, Deb.
Just a couple thoughts on gravy. I've found that I really, really like the spicy Bob Evans more so than Jimmy Dean.
Okay.
And that the secret to a good creamy gravy is to go heavy on the cream, which is to say milk or whole milk.
Right.
Easy on the flour. Flour turns to glue easily. So just enough flour to make it hold together and plenty of milk to make it nice and creamy. And then just, you know, adjust it until you get the texture you want. Mm-hmm. Also, all the recipes I found called for taking the sausage out of the fat and then making the gravy and then putting the sausage back in. Total nonsense. Yeah. Really. So I made Joe biscuits and gravy.
And that was wonderful. However.
And I made him a breakfast beverage.
Oh, let me tell you about this. Was it a Bloody Mary? No, it wasn't. Although I'm a big fan of the Bloody Mary, especially the Long Branch. We need to get them as a sponsor is what we should do.
We need to demo that on the...
We'll demo that on a video. We should do that on a video podcast.
We'll drink, you listen.
No, but the breakfast beverage that Lisa made for me was...
Is there anything you would like to say about it?
All I know is I had one taste of it and I was in heaven the rest of the day.
It was a spicy mocha.
Oh.
Recipe courtesy Giada De Laurentiis.
Oh, Giada. I'm sure she was flashing her teeth when she was making this one.
Giada knows how to take care of her man. Many of her meals are made with her husband in mind, and she's not shy about saying that on the show. And he looks like a happy guy. This particular recipe called for milk.
Whole milk.
Whole milk. Yeah.
Let's make that point. None of this skim nonsense.
Although I think you could do a skim if you wanted. Whole milk simmered with cinnamon sticks and dried red chilies.
Mm.
Then mixed with sugar, cocoa powder, and espresso. So you get a spicy, cinnamony, chocolatey coffee drink.
Oh.
Now, this came out very much like chocolate cinnamon cake, like Texas sheet cake. If I had it to do over, I would ramp up the chili substantially.
Right.
Or add some chili powder or red pepper flakes or something. I mean, you would want to strain anything big back out, but I would want it spicier. But the cinnamon flavor was awesome. I would also make it less sweet because the coffee wasn't... It was awfully sweet.
It was. It was very much.
It was actually a lot like coffee.
It was actually like the Mexican hot chocolate we had when we were down.
It was that's what it was like. Like Mexican hot chocolate, which is definitely not a bad thing. Now, Giada recommends also mixing together sugar, cocoa powder, and whole cream or whipping cream to make a chocolate whipped cream.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do
that's
that.
That's a bit much.
I just added a little Splenda to the whipping cream, which is my standard operating procedure for whipped cream.
Oh.
And spooned that on top.
Delish.
And Joe was a happy guy.
I was.
So you can find that recipe at foodtv.com. Just search for spicy. In fact, if you Google spicy mocha, this will come up first.
Put in spicy mocha Giada.
Yeah, you'll find it. And if you don't, let me know.
It was delicious. But thank you. Thank you for making my birthday so wonderful.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah.
So Joe's in the kitchen pouring himself a cup of coffee. No! You're going to want to save it.
But you know what? It was perfect. And it went well with the coffee, actually.
Oh, it would. In fact, I think you could almost like half that stuff and half coffee.
Yeah. Oh, so good. So I think this weekend I gained about 14 pounds.
Oh, I did.
Yeah. So that's good. So thank you very much for that.
We're in the middle of the cheap date family birthday gauntlet.
Yes, we have.
Which begins at Valentine's Day and ends
with Easter, pretty much.
Yeah.
Actually, after Easter this year. My mom's birthday. So, holy smoke.
Lots of cake.
Yeah. And not a single complaint. Just keep going to the gym.
Yeah,
so,
right.
We did have an eating extravaganza, and we have lots of material that we'll be sharing coming forward. So we have a couple shows worth of stuff coming up. So make sure you stay tuned. So we're going to have to let these folks go. However, before we go, Don't forget, we will have an announcement coming up very soon about the Cheap Date contest with fabulous prizes for all, or for a few lucky winners, put it that way. Potentially.
Oh, yeah. What are you promising here?
So we've got that going on. So stay tuned for that. That'll be coming up soon. And anything else that's going to be happening soon?
Not that I know of.
I'm sure there's more and we're just forgetting it, but
we'll keep you posted.
We will keep you all posted because we love you, the listener. If people want to get a hold of us, how do they do that?
I think email is the way to go.
And that would be?
CheapDateShow@gmail.com.
Or you can leave us a voicemail at 206-203-3283. Jenny, by the way, enjoyed the fact that you said, "We heart voicemail." So we heart voicemail. So give us a call, leave us a voicemail. In fact, I recorded a new outgoing message on our
you did?
On our voicemail line. So check that out if you feel like that.
I'm sure it's adorable.
Okay. So that's going to do it for this time. We will, sorry about that, bump the mic. Now I'm bumping the microphone. Yeah, cut them off. That's it. We're done here. We will talk to you folks in a fortnight.
Good night.
This podcast is a production of Cheap Date Media at CheapDateMedia.com.